That's what I'm going to tell my mom.
Yeah.
Greg introduced us.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Ah! Ah! That's my lion voice. Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. Across the table from me is Greg Lenz.
Chris, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. We got Brett Bittner to my right.
Yes, sir. Good to be here.
Brett Bittner is the executive director of the Advocates for Self-Government, theadvocates.org. Go check it out. They are the quiz people. So if you've ever taken the world's smallest political quiz, they are the quiz people, and they are the ones who make new libertarians. So check them out and support them.
I don't know that I've ever been called a particular kind of people before.
You're so. The quiz people.
Apparently I'm the quiz people.
That's what people know you guys as.
That's true.
So, and then Harry Price. Harry, how are you?
Going good. How are you?
That's good. We're going to talk about guns today, and we realized Brett, Greg, and I don't know anything about guns, so...
Well, I know something.
Well, I don't. I've never even fired a gun, so we had to have a gun.
I know Harry brought one, and now I'm nervous.
Yeah, I know. I'm triggered. Well, he knew Brett's from Georgia, so he had to bring protection.
Yeah, exactly.
Good idea.
Yeah.
We don't need out.
Standard rule of the country. Someone tells you to go get them their gun, get yours first.
Right. So we had to have... We don't want a race war here. We Are Libertarians. This is a weekly podcast-ish. Weekly-ish. Where we get together and talk about the current events, the libertarian movement, about 20 different people, millennial libertarians, sort of rotate in and out of the podcast. But Greg and I are at the center of it all. And you can check out WeAreLibertarians.com for more articles. We're gearing up for 2016. I feel passionate. As we know, I'm a very passionate man.
Generous and thorough.
Generous and thorough.
Filled with passion.
And... To be quite honest, we've done this podcast for almost 4 years, and for three of those years, I've really not cared a lot about politics, except for 2013. No, that's not true. The last 2 years, I got divorced 2 years ago, and it just was emotionally tough to care anything beyond what I was dealing with in front of me, and we have continued to do the program miraculously. I don't know how. I don't know. Most podcasts last 6 months, and somehow we are looking at our fourth year, and, you know, Greg has helped push me along, but this year we're going to really ramp it up. We're going to commit to doing the podcast once a week. I mean, you can count on we did 40 podcasts last year out of 52 weeks.
Yeah, so it wasn't as like quarterly as people like to joke.
I know, yeah.
Ryan Connor.
So, and then there at the end of the year you got 4 in like one day.
I know.
So,
and they still were already starting to chirp.
I know. So, which is very flattering. We understand that you want more from us, and we're going to do our best to get you as much as we possibly can. Within our busy schedules, my schedule just continues to grow more and more. But this is what we enjoy doing, so we're gonna really ramp it up in 2016. And I've organized the troops, and you know, I thought, gosh, our rotation of people is really a lot smaller than it was in 2013. And then I started like making the roster of people that I would have on and do it. I mean, it's over 20 people.
Oh yeah,
I mean, lots of local libertarians, both Republican, Democrat, independent, libertarian party, libertarian-leaning people that we're going to bring on, and we're going to try and keep it at 4. If it gets more than 4 people on a podcast, it gets unwieldy, especially on an opinionated show. But so we're gonna commit to being here every week, and a part of that is you guys supporting us. So if you go to WeAreLibertarians.com, you can donate through PayPal, and we're going to work on getting a Patreon account too, because some of you folks like to donate that way. She can set up monthly contributions, and I want to thank two monthly contributors, Jason Doolittle and Dennis Byington, for donating every month. You guys are awesome, and we appreciate it. And let's go through. Let me make sure that I'm not leaving anybody out since the last time we did this, because I don't check it very often. So I'm looking for payments in all currencies. So let's go back to the last quarter here. I'm sorry. I'm just looking at 2016. I'm not a bright man. So anyways, we thank you guys for donating, especially you, Dennis and Jason, for being monthly contributors to We Are Libertarians. That money goes to support the program. This costs a few $100 a year out of my pocket to run. And anything that you guys can chip in, that, trust me, there were moments over the last 6 months where I've thought about shutting down the podcast. Because it just has been tough to get people together. It's been tough for me to do. I haven't had any interest in politics. But I thought, you know, maybe that interest will come back at one point, and it did. And then I enjoy getting together with my friends and talking about this stuff. And more than anything, people donate to keep the program going. And, the you know, some people donate. We've had a $500 donation before. I mean, you know, people have given generously to keep this program
much
going.
Too generously.
Much, no, not generous enough. Not generous enough. We're not even close to profitability. So, so please, you know, and the more that you give us, the more people that we can bring into the We Are Libertarians community, the more the faster downloads we can give you, the faster, the better equipment, so the better we'll sound, all kinds of stuff. I mean, literally, I just put together like a month ago. Here's the equipment list that I would love to have. Here's my dream setup, and it was $10,000, which sounds like a lot of money, but I think if all 4,500 of our listeners pitched in $5, man, we could sound great. We could do multiple podcasts, have it download real fast, you know, pay people to write, which means you get better written content, better show prep. So it's not really about making money. I mean, it's really about reinvesting it back in this project and doing this and having fun. So
fueling this Liberty train.
That's
right.
I do
have to say that the setup is much nicer than the last time I was here. I believe last time I actually had to hold the mic the whole time.
So, it's very professional now.
So mm-hmm. I got a Christmas bonus. So I took some of my Christmas bonus and I color-coded the microphones. I bought some mic stands. I bought a few more microphones and cords. And just, you know, left it set up on the table so it doesn't change or any of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's like a permanent setup here at the kitchen table. So it's just easier. We walk in, we sit down. You know, sometimes we do two podcasts a week with We Are Libertarians, and then the Jeff Fibber podcast will be guest-hosted from this location occasionally. So,
is nothing at all like this show.
No. I apologize. We put that in the feed, and I was told by some listeners there's a moment where Jeff spoils a special Christmas surprise.
Yes.
And some parents foolishly, which, why were you listening to that with your kids in the car, were... and had to turn it off real quick, but apparently no damage was done. But if there was, I apologize. We just wanted, you know, we were on that podcast, and it's a fun podcast, and we figured we'd throw it in the feed just to give you a little more extra content. It was a special Christmas present from me. So how are you guys? Brett, college football season has come to a close. What will you ever do now that Georgia Tech isn't playing every week?
Well, pitchers and catchers report in like a month, so yeah. I'm good.
I know. We got that to look forward to.
And I do have the national championship game on Monday night.
For what? Like lacrosse or pitchers and catchers of what?
Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball.
Oh. Okay.
The Braves.
Spring training.
Here's how much of a sports fan I am. So I work at the Bob and Tom Show. It is a major national radio show. And we have Colts punter Pat McAfee on every week. And so Pat was on and he was talking about Griff Whalen, right?
Yes.
Griff? Wait.
You messed me up because of this. Yeah, but you're right. It's Griff Whalen.
So, Griff Whalen apparently has a nice physique. So, I Googled it, and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't find the photo of Whalen Grayson. Whiff Graylin. Where's Whiff Graylin? I don't get it. I can't find it. I just don't follow sports. I don't have the bandwidth. I mean, I understand, and because I follow so much news and information, I pick up stuff. So, like, I'll every once in a while surprise Greg with, like, some surprising fact.
Like Georgia Tech's very solid quarterback that you were teasing Brett about, and I was very surprised that you would even know that.
Yeah. So, I pick up a few things here and there. I just don't find it to be a religion. So, like Brett does with Georgia Tech.
Or Harry with NASCAR.
Hey, well, I'm excited about the new NASCAR season myself.
Oh. See, I actually had to stop following NASCAR this season.
Oh, that's right, because when we were at Liberty and Chill, we were talking about the crazy wreck and all the stuff that happened with Matt Kenseth.
You threw me off there because I'm trying to get my other project going, and I'm sitting there like, oh, I should not be sitting here watching these races. I need to be working.
What's your other project?
I am working on a GSM tower I want to bring a GSM cell phone tower to Porkfest. So basically, I could use my own private cell phone signal and talk around to people at Porkfest through our own private cell phone tower.
Great. Very cool.
It's not going through like the other one that's miles away that gets jam packed. It's our own.
It's monitored.
Monitored. And this one, I can get it to communicate with that other tower that's out there, but I don't want it to. I just want it to be just simple, localized, just phones, just people talking there inside the camp. That's it.
That's very cool.
Of all the nerdiest shit you've said, that's one of them.
I really like the project because I kind of been dabbling in voiceover IP,
right,
and then really messing with a lot of radio theory, and then this whole GSM project kind of really threw me for a loop. I was like, wow, I didn't even know cell phones communicated this way, and all the information that was inside of a SIM card. And I just kind of kept jumping down the rabbit hole, and I finally realized, hey, I can build one of these.
Yeah. No, I think it's, I mean, you know so much, you and James Neese, when I talk to you guys about technology, you guys know so much more about this stuff than I do, and like, I'm paid professionally to do it like you guys. I mean, I'm more of a content guy than I am an IT guy.
And they're more hardware, which is so rare to encounter anymore, or scary, right, is at least.
Yeah, I mean, I can build a video encoder, I know how to do that, like, how to order the thing, but like, not build it, you know? Like, you're building cell phone networks and hacking in and watching me nude on my webcam.
Yeah, I took that exploit out.
Harry will come to Liberty and Chill. Harry showed up to Liberty and Chill one day with a new book that he wanted to show everybody. And what was it? It was like How to Master C++.
No. It was actually the book that got me started in the old GSM network. It's Open Asterisk. Open Asterisk System and Open BSG. Yeah.
And like, he tried to read it to everyone, and literally nobody at the table knew what he was talking about, and nobody cared. We're like, can you recite some rap lyrics or something? Tell us about Young Jeezy.
Well, I just got into it. That's why I just found it very, very interesting, and to watch different like towers communicate. Even the simple fact that once you turn your tower on, it will, once you tell it not to, it will start communicating with other GSM towers.
Right. Now, Harry, you go to Pork Fest every year, right?
Yes.
What is Pork Fest for all the people out there?
Pork Fest is the one of the larger events put on by the Free State Project. The Free State Project is a organization with the goal to get 20,000 Liberty lovers to New Hampshire. Their next event that's coming up is Liberty Forum. It's in February. They've got a lot of great speakers. They've got Edward
Swan, the
speaker, and Brett. Yeah, Brett's going to be there.
I'll be there Friday morning speaking, February the 19th, I think it is, in Manchester.
Correct. Yeah, in the hotel in Manchester. But Porkfest is basically a week-long camping trip up in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. If you are curious, like, if for people who are curious in the Free State Project, just want to check out New Hampshire, or just want to be around that many Liberty lovers for a week. It's kind of like being in Libpair for the week. You know, it's nice to be around, quote unquote, your people for the week.
White Mountain, huh?
Yeah.
Your people.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm. Yes.
Libertarians hanging out at White Mountain.
Now, Brett, we've had you on occasionally, but we always like to refresh people. Tell us all your titles. You do a lot.
I do a lot. I don't know that I can even keep up with all of them. I'm the executive director of the Advocates for Self-Government. That's my day job. It's where I spend most of the time. Soon I will be turning over the role of chapter leader for America's Future Foundation here in Indianapolis to Greg after our next event, which is having Charlie Cook from National Review Institute show up and talk about some pretty exciting things here in Indianapolis on the 21st. I serve on the Libertarian National Committee as an alternate for Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, and Kentucky. I'm on the State Central Committee for the LPIN and my local affiliate. And I've got, I don't know, a couple hundred other things that I'm involved in.
Organizer of Liberty and Chill.
Oh, you're right. That very important. Organizer of Liberty and Chill. The policeman, as we found last night, coming up with all kinds of rules for people to participate.
Oh, 7th District Rep to the Central Committee of the LPIN, Marion County Board Member for the
Something
Libertarian
like
Party of Marion County. Yeah, you do a lot. The pond of the Libertarian Party is small, so
it is
the amount of the roles that a dedicated, competent person can fill.
You wear a lot of
are
hats.
Many. Yeah,
so I wear a lot of hats,
but you enjoy it, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I really enjoyed the time that I had off.
Mm-hmm.
From being very involved in the party, and we talked about that, I think, the first time I was on We Are Libertarians.
Yeah.
Right after I'd moved up here to Indiana, and that was a very much needed break.
Yeah, I mean, I was in that way, and I went and, you know, lived life didn't pay attention to news and politics, and you know, we got a little Oprah-ish over the last year as I was focused on other stuff. And you come back and you start paying attention to politics, and I listen to political speeches in a totally different way.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I don't listen to it motivated by strategy. I listen to it motivated by, wow, these guys really don't connect with regular people.
Mm-mm.
Like, I listened to a Ted Cruz speech the other day, and I was just like, bro, you have no idea what it's like for regular people out here.
Very few of the people that you do hear giving political speeches do.
Yeah. So... I have a cold. Yes, I do.
Still, somehow.
I'm in the drainage
3 weeks.
Yeah, it's been like a week and a half.
I've already had and gotten rid of the cold in the time that you've had this cold.
I know.
I don't know how that worked.
Have you tried the Charlie Vicks? Sheen thing.
I've got some Vicks.
So, he's got some tiger blood.
Yep. I'm also trying to get some Snapchat photos from Brad Lowry.
Ooh, exciting.
Friend. Yeah. If you don't follow me on Snapchat, do you guys Snapchat?
No.
Yes.
Yeah. We've talked about this.
Mine is C Spangle. If you want to add me, Harry, what's yours?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm terrible at social media. It just doesn't really interest me that much. But I do it.
See, that's amazing. Because that is like my entire job. Like even you need people like me to do social media marketing, so people like you can get paid. But then at the same time, I need people like you to build stuff.
So you have a platform to do social
exactly
media.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you operating on Peach yet?
I don't know what that means.
I'm not on Peach yet.
It's a new iOS app. I figured you'd be all over it.
Peach?
I saw it featured on Mashable last week. I figured that the Spangle would already be...
See, I just...
They're less than, like, what, 9 months old?
I used to join Peach? All these social...
They're a couple weeks old.
I used to join all the social networks, and I just don't anymore because there's no point. I don't need more spam in my email inbox. Facebook and Twitter and Instagram are it, and Snapchat has somehow broken through, and Periscope to an extent. Aaron Ewert is keeping it alive.
Well, I guess
he's the only one that's on Periscope. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
In Saudi,
bro, there's a Brazilian. There's a Brazilian girl. You got to get on there.
Yeah.
Well, Snapchat is just basically like what is it? Just a Twitter for Instagram. Very, very quick. Get it over with. Get it done. It's not that bad. That's why I kind of like it.
Yeah.
But like the other social networks, it's like, okay, this takes too much time for me. I've got other things I need to do.
Video and photo messaging is fun, and it gives you an insight into another person's life that you wouldn't see otherwise. It's super creative and fun. Snapchat is not just all about... I mean, I can count on one hand how many times I've seen boobs on Snapchat. I mean, and it's... You know, thousands and thousands of Snapchats, but people think it's for like sexting and dirty stuff.
No,
that was all I thought it was until recently.
You use it, yeah. And then
no,
it's, fun.
It's like the you know it's the future that the self deleting aspect is the future of communication.
Supposed self deleting,
yeah. But,
sure,
but I mean, in the long run, that is going to be what people prefer. Just because your footprint, your digital footprint, is going to be something you really. Would prefer isn't out there.
And you can limit who gets to see your stuff too.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can do more creative things and you know, like I've snapped you know, that I've shared information with my Snapchat friends that I was pooping twice today.
It's true. I watched it right before we started recording.
Fascinating. I had to go to the right before we started the podcast and I just snapped from the toilet that I was very concerned about leaving you and Harry alone because you're from Georgia and I didn't want there to be a race war in the living room.
Harry brought a gun.
Harry did bring a gun. It's on the table.
To which Jeff replied, "You've gone twice today? How many times do you go?" I go 3 times a day. You eat 3 meals, you should poop 3 times a day. That's healthy. That's how your bowels work.
I do one gigantic one.
That's not good for you.
No, it is. And I got little stunts with it. I call this one the coast to coast. That's when you go from one side of the bowl to the other side of the bowl.
And Harry actually, unbeknownst to many, is legendary for his ability to dip like a breadstick.
Oh.
No, I mean like the...
The
turd.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Ew. Well, you can get it to.
Yeah, that's his like claim to fame.
Oh, I thought you meant something else was.
No, I'm talking about
the eel
was get it to like Loch Ness monster.
Yeah, the eel was dropping into the water.
No, not that. Nothing like that, but like that's his like one-upmanship in
special move
in the throne game.
Special move. It's your finisher.
Yeah.
Like in wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. That's
poor Brett. Brett has like credibility in society and roles that are important.
I'm on IRC chats and I change my name constantly, Greg, and my Mac address. But the other thing is, like, what you guys.
I also love that Harry brought a laptop stand, not just his laptop, but a laptop stand.
I can put things underneath it. It's how I use it at home. It's just more comfortable like this, and it fits in my backpack. Actually, my custom backpack that I actually got for this laptop in this case should be here in about 2 more weeks. So
that is, you are. I love everything about you. Don't change.
Yeah, and while you guys are doing all these fancy social media, I'm still on like old email groups we just email
listservs.
Yeah, I still do that.
Yahoo Digests.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Don't laugh. Some of us still use those for other things.
Good way to communicate
with
people.
Do you still have a GeoCities?
No, I got rid of that 2 years ago.
All right, well, let's talk about the issues. Let's get down to it. Should we start with the Oregon people, or should we start with guns?
It's up to you guys. I'm open to both.
Let's start with guns, because that actually matters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, frankly, in the grand scheme of things, the Oregon thing, I don't really care about. I mean, I'm going to be totally frank with our listeners. I don't really care about the gun stuff either. Like, that's part of why I wanted to have Harry on the podcast, is because I watched the Obama town hall, and I really didn't disagree with what he had to say. But I understand that I'm thinking it from I'm listening to his words, and yeah, he's right. Like, you don't want people to die, and you want things to be fixed, and that seems like that should make sense. But then once you get to the policy of it, you know that the devil's always in the details, and that it's what is passed may or may not be effective in actually achieving what all of us seems to be common sense.
Right, like the loophole that he's wanting to close through the executive order is already closed in California. It didn't stop anyone in San Bernardino.
Right.
Yeah, correct. And most of these loopholes, and the supposed loopholes that supposedly exist, is just trying to stop small private transactions between individuals.
Which is virtually impossible to police anyway.
Right, yeah. But it doesn't stop the federal government trying to
register guns.
Yeah, register guns. Mm-hmm. They trying to register 25... Gram drones this year, so yeah, they're going to try to go after guns. It's ridiculous. The whole debate on trying the gun show loophole. So when you go to a gun show and you set up your table, you have to be an FFL a deal. You have to have your license. You have to be in good standing to be at that gun show. And the fact that someone is going to buy a bunch of guns there legally, then put them in their say Subaru station wagon and drive these up to Chicago from Indiana, that's ludicrous. You'd lose too much money in this deal because the chance of getting caught, and they already have a law against straw man purchases.
And your margins aren't that great that you could even really make that trip with all the expenses that you would incur.
So exactly. So how do the people get guns in Chicago? If Obama says, you know, a guy from Chicago who's on the ground talks to, you know, like that pastor that was on the town hall and says, I'm in the neighborhoods. This is where the guys say they're getting the guns from. How do we know that that's false? I mean, I'm trying to play devil's advocate. I'm trying to do my best Stossel here. Why? I mean, the president says. Where do the guns come from that are being sold out of trunks in Chicago? And how do we trace those?
Cook County, Illinois.
Okay,
that's where most of their guns come from in one general location, and Mississippi and Indiana. That's once they really trace them back, and when you trace them back, since there's really no gun register, they find out these guns were stolen in these areas.
Right,
that's
they were stolen, or they were found, and what they're ending up doing, or they're going to a pawn shop that's got a Saturday night special, and that guy really isn't an FFL kind of guy. He's just kind of trading in the gray market there.
Yeah, explain an FFL.
It's a federal firearms license. It's what allows you to be able to sell guns as a dealer, somebody who
is
in the business. They're actively engaged in commerce. It's their main deal.
You're an
auto
dealer.
Not a hobbyist.
Correct, yeah.
Like, right. It's being an auto dealer just for
it's
guns.
It's exactly
auto
like dealers, being a car dealer.
Or a cigar bar. You do your business in selling guns, you know? And that's who you also have to deal with. If you bought a gun online, you have to find a local FFL dealer
who can accept it, and then they'll do all of the background check and all the paperwork that's necessary for it. A friend of mine in Georgia is a gunsmith. He is the FFL that I would have one cent if I were to purchase one online. online if I still lived in Georgia. I would have to find somebody here to do that if I wanted to buy a gun online. And one of the things that I saw that I thought was absolutely hysterical with regard to the White House tweet about convicted felons being able to buy a gun online without any sort of a background check was a response from Brian Aitken. And if you guys don't know who Brian Aitken is, he's a guy very prominent in the Liberty Movement. He used to work for Fee, but he came to prominence within the Liberty Movement because he was arrested and convicted for improperly transporting his legally owned guns when he moved from Colorado to New Jersey. He spent time in prison and had his sentence commuted. However, he's still a convicted felon. So he responded very quickly to that tweet by saying, oh, really? What's the website? Can I pay with Bitcoin?
Right. Which
he won the internet that day because it was absolutely hysterical if you know his backstory.
That's amazing. I mean, so he just moved his stuff from one state to another because he passed through states. So so when we went to Vegas for the convention, or any actually it was St. Louis. So we're here in Indiana, and when the National Libertarian Party convention was in St. Louis, we had to put out a memo to everybody saying, hey, it is illegal for you to have a gun in Illinois. You take your gun through Illinois and you get stopped, you could get a felony.
Yes.
And made it very clear. So, I mean, that's just really, that's bullshit.
Well, especially when you consider the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, for me, from going from Indiana to New Hampshire, I've got to pass through Ohio, Pennsylvania, unfortunately, New York. You know, these states here where my concealed carry permit doesn't work on.
Right.
I have to get my gun transferred from Indiana to New Hampshire through an FFL a dealer and pick up my already purchased gun. Or I just, you know, get a gun from my uncle up in New Hampshire. It's easier.
Well, that's what's important, too, I think, to differentiate. Because, like, you look at Adam Lanza. Mm-hmm. Like, Adam Lanza didn't do anything illegal. I mean, that gun was already in his home.
Well, he did some things that were illegal, but the ownership of the guns was not, and procurement of the guns,
acquisition of the gun wasn't illegal. I mean, and everything, the president treats everything as the same.
Yes,
and I do agree with him. I like that part of his initiative in the executive order is $500 million for mental health, but. That, I mean, you really have to differentiate the issue between, like, there was a murder in Indianapolis last night by a friend, right in the back alley of a friend of Spangle and I's home. And, like, that was something where they're not going to find that individual, or it's highly unlikely, and that gun was stolen. It isn't the case, like, with San Bernardino and Adam Lanza, Sandy Hook, where, I mean, or even James Holmes, where they could go and pass a federal background check, and it would have done nothing to prevent the crime.
Yeah.
And so... everything he's putting forward does nothing to address any of – it won't stop any of this.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and we're looking at laws upon laws upon laws to control criminal activity, but we already know that when – by definition, criminal activity isn't going to follow the law. So anything additionally that you do is only hurting the people who are law-abiding citizens.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Murder is already illegal.
Yes, and like in San Bernardino, the loopholes he wants to close are shut. It did nothing.
Yeah. They already have a 10-round maximum magazine in California.
And he proposes 200 new ATF agents to police private transactions. That's going to do nothing.
FBI agents. FBI agents.
Yeah, FBI agents. But I mean, and then
But ATF is the one that actually enforces
the transactions.
Exactly. So why do you want 200 FBI agents?
No, that's an addition, because he also wants additional ATF agents, I'm sure. But you can't, a private transaction between two individuals. Why?
I mean, if I wanted to buy the gun that Harry has right now, there's no law that would prevent it. It's a private transaction, voluntary between the two of us, because I'm not forcing him to sell it to me. He wants the money that I'm going to give him, or the Bitcoin that I send him, or whatever it is that we choose as our means.
In exchange, a bartering. Yeah.
It's 2.5 Bitcoins, by the way.
All right. Let me see what I've got.
Yeah. I'm going to have to register this with the state. This transaction just happened.
But the thing is, at the same time, as a gun owner, like before I even want to even, I'm a responsible gun owner, even before I want to even sell it to someone, first I want to see if someone's got their concealed carry permit personally. And I want their driver's license. I want every information from this person before I even want to even sell them my gun.
Right.
Because I don't know what they're going to do with this thing.
Yep. And if there's nothing that shows that you sold it, and they use it in a crime, it's still coming back to Harry.
Right. Yeah, it's still coming back to me. No matter, you know, no matter what, it'll still come back to me no matter what paperwork I put in front, put in place, because right. I sold it to him.
Right.
Did I know Brett was going to do this, or Bob? Did I know Bob was going to do this?
And so that's, I guess, my question is, what's the president's real goal? And so is it, I mean, it's not stopping San Bernardino, because the laws he wants to enforce are already in place.
This seems like a legacy thing. He's in the final year of his term. He's got to have something that he can talk about at the State of the Union. He's got to be able to have something that he can talk about when he goes around the country giving speeches for $500,000 a pop. He's got to have something that he can point to, that he can say, during my 8 years, I made sure that everybody in the country was forced to buy health insurance, and we made progress on controlling the proliferation of guns in the community. Those are going to be his talking points.
I agree.
When he is post-presidential.
I thought that as well, and I think being from Chicago, having such a... Actually, our friend Joe's an extra in the movie Chirac, which is out right now, which is about the violence that's taking place in Chicago. The priest that was at the Obama Town Hall, John Cusack, is inspired by that actual guy.
And that's the Spike Lee
A Spike Lee joint. And I think that and nuclear proliferation will be Obama's two things that he will
and
talk
that's
about.
That's got to be off the table with Iran, though, doesn't it?
And he threw the gauntlet with, I will not support any candidate that doesn't support sensible gun laws, which was a poke in the eye of Bernie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But also, you know, Obama still enjoys popularity.
He continues to campaign. It's just not campaigning for him. It's campaigning for his legacy and campaigning for his successor.
Right.
Yeah. And like for me, I feel like he's doing this as an election issue, because
absolutely,
like a lot of a lot of people are like Chris in that they, you know, that they watch him speak. And I believe he's as, you know, Donald Trump believed his tears were sincere. Like, I don't think there was anything fake about the way he feels about this and wanting to do something that actually will save lives. But I think even he knows there isn't a policy prescription available that will actually do anything that is going to prevent even or make a bump in deaths.
Well, one of the things that I think when you're looking at it from, if that's his goal, the mental health aspect of the executive order, I think, is going to negate anything that happens from the actual issue, from the actual gun death issue, because what I'm looking at, as somebody who has experience somebody who has experience with somebody who has some mental health issues, not me personally, just somebody that I know that can be something that would prevent them from seeking treatment.
Yes.
Knowing that a doctor can essentially register you as somebody who's dangerous is going to be something that would prevent somebody who could be seeking help because of the mental health issues that they perceive, which is already a huge burden to overcome. Yeah. That makes that burden even higher, and I'm worried about them not seeking that help, not getting the treatment, and those deaths happening, essentially just trading for, instead of being killed by a gun, being killed by the problems within their head.
Yeah, the unintended effects of this, which is something that really hasn't been discussed in national media whatsoever.
Right.
Yeah, which a single doctor shouldn't have the ability to take anyone's rights away. You know, that's for the courts takes people's rights away. That's when someone's violent, we go to court. We have they are trialed in front of evidence. They've got a judge, they've got a jury, and then we use that to take their rights of freedom away and put them away in a jail cell. A doctor shouldn't have that sole ability.
No, and the court can have the doctor come in and testify or give their expert opinion, but that's always been the case, and that should be the case rather than placing the court's authority within the doctor.
Right, and you also have your ability to defend yourself. Also, in all this whole paperwork, it doesn't really sell how to even get your name off the list. We know it's hard to even get your name off the no-fly list when your name got put on it accidentally.
You can't get off that. No. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like you're not getting off.
It for lack of a better term, it's on your permanent record.
It is.
Yeah.
And you're never going to escape that.
You're not a flyer.
Yes.
You are not a flyer.
Right. Well, and we've even seen congressmen who've been on the no-fly list.
And they can't get off.
And Tom McClintock shares a name with an IRA terrorist, Congressman Tom McClintock from California. And basically, he was told that while they were researching what was happening to make sure he could fly, well, just use your middle name when you make your reservation, and you'll be able to fly. This was when he was still a state rep or state senator in California. That was what they told him, and he had no issues.
They advised him to make a typo in order to circumvent federal law.
Essentially, yeah.
Wow.
While they were trying to clear up the issue with him having the same name as somebody that was on the no-fly list.
Wow.
I do get searched less when I don't use my suffix.
Huh. Mm. Have you ever been patted down?
Uh-huh.
Have you?
Yeah.
Really?
The blue gloves are freedom.
Blue gloves are freedom. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, when I went to Keenvention, I took it.
Sorry, that is totally my fault and unprofessional. I was just uploading a promo video to our Instagram.
But yeah, yeah.
I get patted down every time I fly by the Blue Gloves of Freedom.
Yeah.
No way.
I also carry the Penn and Teller Bill of Rights with me every time. It's metal, so that when I go, if they send me through the metal detector, it will go off, and it gives me an opportunity to hand the Bill of Rights over to the TSA screener, and I can tell them, hey, I'm obviously not going to be using these for a few minutes. Can you hold on to them for me? and I usually, you know, post something on Facebook or Twitter about the hashtag Blue Gloves of Freedom anytime I have an interaction with TSA.
Yeah. Interesting.
I like to go through the line and be as crappy as possible. So, like, even if they get forced to go through, like, the scanner, I don't stand correctly, so it'll mess up. And I'll put all kinds of different things on me, so it'll all mess up. Just like the debt cord. I love touching debt cord right before I get on the plane. Oh, man, it's awesome.
I don't go as far as Harry. I'm there to be an example to let people know that they don't have to go through the scanner.
Yeah.
And I worked on that way back in 2010 when they started putting them in with the We Won't Fly campaign, where we essentially shut down major airports by having people opt out because they weren't able to get people through the line because everybody was opting out. We were passing out flyers and helping. So I continue to be an example for them that, hey, you don't have to go through that body scanner if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. And it really slows down the line. Yeah.
Do you guys know, so in this case, and sorry, not to, just to kind of go back to guns, do you guys know off the top of your head or just a general idea, like of the crimes that are committed, I'm guessing the majority are stolen guns.
Stolen guns, high points, you know, the little junky old guns, or yeah, they're usually most of them are stolen guns, or some guns are possibly bought legally and someone just used them for criminal acts. Just okay. Like you would buy, if someone wanted to go out and buy, I don't know, a crappy Chevy Cobalt and just want to go out and do, you know, commit acts with it. Same way if someone went and bought a crappy MacBook Pro and wanted to go out and hack. It's just a tool, it's how you
right.
use it.
And so then with the doctors being able to register you, the issue then becomes preemptive, almost a preemptive strike against people that are trying, you know, to commit crimes. So what you're talking about is forecasting criminal activity.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that seems like the reason this data is going to exist and the reason they want the doctors to collect this data is they want to put together algorithms eventually, which is no different like Minority Report, where they can use predictive analytics in order to target and focus resources on those who are most apt.
In the same way that they want to send letters to people that they suspect of being Johns in high prostitution areas mm-hmm. in Los Angeles.
Right.
Yep. Hey, we saw that your car was here, so we're going to send you a letter that says, we think you were visiting a prostitute, mm-hmm. regardless of whether you had any illegal activity going on or not. You just happen to pass through an area.
Yep. Get you arrested on, you know, just trying to expand the, be able to arrest you on a conspiracy. We believe you have these means mm-hmm. to conspire. Why do you have this? Why do you have this, you know, and with your mental issues, yeah, we should put you away somewhere.
Which is ultimately like the gun registry as well. Like once they have a national gun registry, then they'll use the data, cross-reference it, look for predictive analytics on based on the backgrounds. And now you're talking about the ability with big data today and like Planeteer Technologies out in Silicon Valley, that will that be admitted into courtrooms as evidence?
Could be.
Yeah, something like that.
That's
yeah.
pretty scary.
Yeah. Yeah. And they could, you know, well, the other thing is like with governments and their database, they really love their databases. And
well, Social Security numbers.
Yeah. Well, Social Security numbers were not meant to be used as identification. That was right. part of, but
they were meant to keep Ted Cruz from being president.
Yeah. For good reason.
No Canadian should ever be president of the United States. I will stand by that.
100%.
That's right.
Totally agree with you.
I am.
Yeah, you're waiting for them to come and invade.
I am so small government until it comes to Canadians, and then I'm a statist. I'm a Tory.
Blackout the sky.
That's right.
Yep. Take their Arctic air, keep it up there, build the wall.
And
make them pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, that's impressive. That would actually win my vote. If he had quit targeting Mexico and started targeting Canada, you would know no greater ally Donald Trump than myself.
You should check out the first episode of South Park this season.
Is it epic?
That is exactly what it is. It's Canada building a wall.
South Park has been so amazing this year.
This season, they've had an awesome long story arc. Usually the episodes stand independently of one another, but now they've all been incorporated in this longer story arc, and I actually have to say that it's Bill Hader's influence as a writer.
I didn't know he was at it as a writer.
He has been. I know that since whenever 6 Days to South Park came out.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever that documentary came out, that was when I first found that he was a writer. And what I've seen is a move towards a more traditional show where you have longer story arcs and you have character development. We saw it a little bit when they did Coon and Friends. They did Imagination Land. They did those 2- and 3-parters. But this season, the half season they just finished, where essentially the whole focus was having a Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a continuing theme.
Gentrification and Donald Trump's role in that. And yes.
And the whole economic development, they nailed that. Every argument for economic development I've ever seen, and the failure that happens when you have the government managing that, is absolutely epic. It was so perfect when they did the Soda Sopa.
Yeah.
Particular episode.
Nothing is better than Caitlyn Jenner, though.
Yeah, that was a pretty good
oh
one.
Oh, my God. Yeah, South Park is interesting, and this is just a random thought while we're on it. I was thinking about South Park the other day, because we were in a discussion at work, working for a morning radio comedy show. We were never shock jocks, even in the heyday, like Howard Stern was, where he was intentionally pushing the limits. But, you know, you want your show to reflect...
You guys weren't like Bubba the Love Sponge?
No.
Ugh.
But our show reflects what common people discuss and how they talk and, you know, what they talk about. And sometimes that includes sex and farts and jail rape and and that sort of thing.
I mean, ignoring it doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
Exactly right. And so after Janet Jackson, a lot of things changed. There's famous, you know, we do a lot of songs, original songs, not just parody songs. Things like Camel Toe and the Cleveland Steamer song, where it's like, do the Cleveland Steamer. You can go to bobandtom.com and check some of this stuff out. Our SoundCloud especially has a lot of bits. And, you know, we were talking about standards and appropriateness of what you can and can't discuss and how things are a little bit looser now. But it got me thinking about what actually outrages people and what is socially acceptable and what is not. And South Park in the early days it's always been socially unacceptable. And what is socially unacceptable about South Park 20, 25 years ago was the dancing Christmas poo. And talking about sex and then transgender people scissoring. And now what is outrageous on South Park is political correctness and being conservative and being libertarian on certain issues. That is what is outrageous to the culture. Donald Trump is offensive to most people in the culture, not what was offensive 20 years ago, which was sex and toilet jokes and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's an interesting shift in our culture from and South Park has always been on the cutting edge of what offends culture at large.
They picked up where The Simpsons left off.
Yeah.
When The Simpsons became very mainstream.
Yeah. And so it's almost like a perfect documentary of what pisses people off in power. I mean, it's such a great show.
I mean, yeah, a lot of it's, you know, exploiting or exposing the absurdity of the conversations that go on politically in America. And, you know, that used to be Saturday Night Live's role. For the longest time, that's what SNL did. And SNL dropped the ball and they became an NBC, you know, they just did whatever NBC was doing, and when the Iraq War wasn't cool, and Bush, you know, that was their heyday, and they kind of came back with that. But that's not where America is right now.
But once GE owned NBC, you really saw that change in Saturday Night Live.
The great writers left. It became the also-rans that all of a sudden got to write the show. And if it weren't for Amy Poehler and...
Seth Meyers?
Yeah, Seth Meyers and Tina Fey, that mm-hmm. show would have died. And now, but it's storming back because it's following South Park's lead. Mm-hmm. It isn't as incendiary or as, you know, abrasive, I guess, as South right. Park, but it still touches on those same themes. And we're at a point in society where the backlash from acceptance and, you know, multiculturalism and all these things has culminated in South Park being what the intelligentsia and the social analysis of society embodies.
We're violating safe spaces with some of these things because we're talking about issues and having opinions that aren't part of the PC crowd.
Yeah.
And while I think it's important to be accepting and tolerant in general, overarchingly, I don't think that we need to limit speech because somebody might be offended by it.
No, you should be offended.
And one of the things that we're seeing is a lot of these people that are calling for safe spaces actually need these big, scary ideas, these new things that they may not have considered, because that's going to be the backbone of free speech. That's going to be the backbone of how we have freedom as a society, as a nation going forward, is we're talking about these things in a way that you can't just shut down a conversation by saying, well, I'm offended by that. I'm offended by Harry's I Love Guns and Coffee Starbucks parody t-shirt that he's wearing, or I'm offended by your Titleist hat because it shows that you're part of the golf patriarchy.
It says tit on it.
I mean, we're getting to the point where it's beyond absurd.
Yeah.
Those people are also the same people that are afraid of guns. They don't understand the gun culture. And right. a lot of the problem with the gun debate is that, you know, the right and people on the right are willing to go to ridiculous lengths to keep common sense solutions from taking place. He talked about Smith and Wesson and Colt and how they didn't have, they were pressured into not producing a gun that has a chip that allows only its user to fire the weapon. That to me seems like something that makes no sense. It seems common sense, and why
home
wouldn't
run.
They right? Why wouldn't they allow that? Why wouldn't want the consumers to want that? The other part about the left is that they want to abolish guns. There can be no discussion of any guns existing for a lot of these people, and they are willing to mock and belittle people on the right in a culture that they don't understand. And I think that's an enormous problem when you just immediately dismiss a whole argument from people that disagree with you, and you're refusing to engage in a conversation. Then you are just as bad as the people who, you know, you can't mock and belittle the NRA, and then, like, you have to deal with them and meet head on. Politics is all about compromise. So
I know Harry wants to respond to that, because the look on his face was pure outrage when you talked about the chip on the gun.
Well, the thing is, right, where the heck are you going to put the chip on this thing, on this gun? You can maybe put it on a rifle. There's got enough room on a rifle. But a handgun, especially like, this is a full-size Glock. It's a Glock 22. I love my gun. Yes, I'm black with a Glock 22. Get over it. Anyways, but there's hardly any room to put a chip on there, let alone a chip that can read a local storage database on a fingerprint and have the battery power and for this thing to work constantly. Work if I've got a glove on. Work when if I don't have a glove on. Work in the winter. Work in the summer. Constantly work. Survive the recoil of that gun.
But why wouldn't you just say, yeah, I mean, the CEO of Colt says, yeah, we could try it and do some R&D, but they never even get to the R&D stage because of the NRA and because people don't want them to. Well, what is the problem? Why would we not want... I mean, it's not like technology can't advance to that place, Harry. You know that better than anybody.
They're a private organization. They can do what they want with their product. If consumers really want that product, and some do, they're doing research and development on that currently. But if they're... You can't be rushed into building something like that.
And they realize that their market isn't there necessarily for it.
Yeah.
Because you take a look at the people who are gun owners, they're going to be the ones that are going to say, hey, we don't want that. It's for protection. We don't want to risk not being able to save our family because something malfunctioned when we know that what we have right now works.
Correct. Because in the middle of a software update, our right. fingerprint yeah. wasn't able
it'll
to be recognized.
It'll be like a Windows update right. where you know, while you're asleep. Stuck. Right.
Oh, yeah, hold on. I've got an update. You know, let exactly. me take this glove off.
And I do want to go back to something that Chris said when he was talking about how the left likes to immediately go after the right, specifically on the gun issue. But the right, really, they don't do themselves any favors. And it's not just the right. There are plenty of libertarians who don't do themselves any favors with the ridiculous walking around Kroger, open carrying, you know,
yeah, and with the rifles, yeah. yeah.
Actively trying to put a finger in somebody's eye. Yeah,
yeah right. they're there to say, hey, look what I've got, look what I can do. Yeah, but they make themselves a huge target for that criticism and for the bullying and for being made fun of.
Mm-hmm.
But it's deserved because they didn't need to. They don't need to flex that yeah. in public.
Yeah.
Because the debate is such that anything that they do like that makes them that huge target. And rather than focus on policy and focus on conversations, they're trying to make an outrageous statement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you have in your home, but I realize how ridiculous you look when you're walking around the mall carrying something strapped across your back, or you're walking around the neighborhood, you know, with something that's gaudy.
Yeah, the gun cosplayer walking exactly. around. Yeah.
Yes. And you know what? Those are the people that I'm actually the most afraid of doing something stupid because they've already shown a lack of judgment.
Right.
The guy who's open carrying a handgun on his hip, I am not worried about that guy at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not flash. He's not showing. And he's not drawing attention to the fact that he's doing it. Yes, yeah. it's there,
mm-hmm.
but you know what? I'm not worried about him doing something really dumb.
And it's also not what he's doing. He's doing something else. He just happens to have that.
Exactly. These other guys are doing it as a way to show that they can do it
right.
and what they've got.
Yeah. But so what? Yeah, you can go ahead. Walk around that Barrett 50MG. No one cares. Okay, people care, and they'll try to take that away from you. You know, it's... When I have open carried, I have open carried this Glock, but I've actually open carried this gun empty, honestly, with not a magazine in it. I had my suit on. It was completely empty, and I just had it on my side. And I was like, oh, why is it empty? It's like, because, you know, I'm doing it as a statement. I don't have to have it loaded, you know?
It's because I have a permit that says I do what I want.
Yeah, and I do yeah. what I want. It's my gun.
You have the Ron Swanson permit.
It's called the Constitution.
Well, that is, but I mean, like, so last night the president has a town hall, right? They have a town hall moderate, and it was actually way less of a love fest for the president's side than I would have anticipated. And that gets missed in all of this is, one, it's like we've discussed before, the Second Amendment's there because without it, the rest of it is just words on paper. It has no teeth whatsoever. It's, you know, an armed citizenry is the protection against an aggressive government. And you go beyond that and you look at the way it's worded. The left mm-hmm. loves to talk about how it has to do, yeah, mm-hmm. the comma and the militia. That's ridiculous because if you think about it, you would have to believe that the federal government codified into law the right for an individual to join an institution that is has full control oversight by the federal government. They would never grant that within the Constitution. And second, you'd have to believe the Bill of Rights, which is explicitly negative rights, what government can't do to you. This is the one exception where they can go ahead and quote that this is what the government can do for you.
Right.
Yeah.
So they decided to make an instance out of this one time to give you a positive liberty. That's mm-hmm. absurd. It's contextually absurd. And that's why the left is wrong on this issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the other things that we don't really see a whole lot of discussion about is the process by which an individual's rights to be armed, to protect themselves, are infringed by not following a process. We have an outline process for changing an amendment to the Constitution.
Yeah.
We've seen it. We did it with the 21st Amendment when we repealed the 18th Amendment. Mm-hmm. There's a process in place to do so, but it is a continuous battle by people that are playing a very long game to take incremental steps to make a change and eventually get to the point where they want. It may not happen in their lifetime, but they know that they believe that they are so that they are so right on the issue, they'll take every little tiny change, every little tiny step that they can, and they never actually follow the process. And that's actually the most infuriating thing to me about the gun debate as it is in the United States is we talk about common sense solutions and we talk, and that's fine. Make your case, follow the Constitution to either repeal or amend the amendment. It's there, it's outlined for you, but in today's society, they realize that it's impossible to meet that, and that's kind of what they were going for.
That the separation of powers works.
Yeah,
exactly. They're absolutely outraged that, you know, that this whole system works. I mean, come on.
And it stops all the knee-jerk reaction bills from that. That's how we end up with the Patriot Act. That's how we end up with the TSA, these knee-jerk reaction stuff. And that's why the process takes forever. It's so you actually know, do you really want to do this?
And you have an intelligent debate where you're considering all sides and you're actually looking at what will work, what won't work. You have an opportunity for people to study the issue, look at the outcomes, look at the consequences, unintended and intended, and actually make a well-informed, good decision.
Yes. Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's we got to do it right now. It's an emergency, and we have to do it because this happened, and we have to have something. And that's exactly how we pass things like the Patriot Act. It's exactly how you see it, just like Harry said, all of the knee-jerk reactions to things. And that's why that's why that process is in place and was put in place, because they realized that this could be something, a contentious issue in the future. Imagine that, them having that foresight. You know, we're already limiting speech to First Amendment areas. We're already saying who is and who isn't the media now.
Yeah.
Well, the Fourth Amendment doesn't exist.
And the Fourth Amendment doesn't exist. You take a look at some of the things that are happening in the world. I hate to be the guy that continues to hammer on about making a murderer, but you see all of the things that happen there to the guy. And I promise no spoilers, but everything that happens with him, it makes you wonder whether people even realize that the Bill of Rights and the Constitution are in place.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah.
They absolutely do not. I mean, 52% of Americans didn't know Joe Biden was vice president. So, I mean, what are the chances they know the Bill of Rights and the separation of powers and the three branches?
Not to mention the state's role. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the individual states, not the state as an overarching government thing, but...
I mean, and that's what this week the Texas Governor Greg Abbott, you know, he called for a constitutional convention, and it's a bad idea, but his intent, it's like a lot of things, it's a terrible idea, but his intent is good,
right?
Mm-hmm. His intent is to limit right now, government. There's no the 10th Amendment state, you know,
has no teeth,
it
no
has one, nothing, no and one, so the
well,
idea
it's because nobody has the guts to stand up.
Yeah.
That's why the 10th Amendment has no teeth.
And you need supremacy clause and rulings by the Supreme Court.
You need a governor and you need sheriffs that will stand up to the federal government for the 10th Amendment to have any teeth.
Right. And they won't because of the supremacy clause and the rulings on that it's the supreme law of the land and it trumps all state
and
laws.
All of the goodies, all the carrots, all the sticks that DC puts on people. They give you the carrot first. They want you to follow the things so that you get the money for the programs that you want. And then when you finally don't do it, and we're seeing this with Real ID, then they bring the stick to hurt you for not doing what they want you to do.
Speaking of Real ID, okay, there is a state that did decide to circumvent the federal government and put in their laws to get rid of that. That's New Hampshire.
Yes.
And that's actually a really strong segue into the Oregon situation, as long as everyone feels...
Do it.
No. Mm. No. I want to point this one thing.
We have 20 minutes, Harry. Hurry.
Okay, really, really quick. There's one thing that Obama talked about is like people buying guns with trust. The reason why people buy guns with trust is because those very highly expensive collector guns, those are the guns that are bought with trust, not sawed-off shotguns. People just buy regular shotguns and saw those off. No one buys that with a trust. Shotguns are too cheap. We're talking about collector guns and full-auto collector guns from like World War II era collectors. If those people can't build trust to buy those guns, put those in museums, old guys who have those guns, they get left in barns, and then they just fall off the map.
Yep.
That's even considering like cannons, okay? That is like, so what's a cannon? It's a cannon. Sorry, that's the only thing I wanted to point it out over that town hall speech. It seemed like a lot of people missed when you kept that strawman of the people buying guns with trust. These are corporations buying things, not, you know, just regular people.
Harry is so mild-mannered and, like, level. But then you, like, trigger him on something, and he just, and guns is one of those things. He just gets so pissed off.
It kind of, like, makes me want to say something.
I like animated Harry.
You can literally say anything to Harry. Like, Harry.
Well, I want to say something negative about the rotary engine, Raspberry Pi, and guns, and just see if Harry's head explodes.
Exactly, yeah.
He's going to commit a crime.
Nothing negative, and before the Kunis egg, it's the only good advancement in engine design, okay? Now, the Kunis egg and their new camless motor, that's pretty interesting, but it's, you know.
Blah, blah, blah.
Did you hear that, Harry?
Blah, 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 nobody cares.
That was the sound of all our female listeners' panties being thrown at the speaker.
It's everyone. Like in, it's like in.
All
in
three
private,
of them.
It's like in private parts.
Right at the speaker. I heard it. One, two, three.
It's like in private parts. I put the speaker on the floor.
Yeah. Raspberry Pi. Right. My new GSM cell tower.
I actually just picked up a new BeagleBone Black because I'm going to start reflash.
Why black?
Yeah, but it's got to be black, Harry.
Because it's
Harry.
The black edition. And I'm going to
start. Why didn't you get white?
Well, I got the black edition because I wanted to put a Kali Linux on a nice little portable box. Two, I wanted you to reflash the BIOS on a lot of my Lenovo laptops so I could put Libre Boot under it. Yay, Libre Boot. Okay, sorry. You can go. I'm sorry.
Good deal.
I'm pretty sure I only understood about three of the words you just said.
And he gets so excited.
Oh,
Greg, tell us. Listen, I know there's like some old guys that did something with a fire and they had to go to jail. And so
it's like actually
Al Bundy went and like stole a cabin in the Oregon or something. I don't
and
know.
And it's like a white Baltimore.
Right.
That's what I've come to understand based on the memes that I've seen on the internet. You have to hate them because these are the guys that are terrorists. In the way that the Baltimore guys were terrorists, but they're different colors, so they get treated different, and that's all I know about it. And it happened in Oregon.
Dude, like I
get
like
treated
had,
differently because it's guns, but
even though, you know, Oregon was founded to be a completely white society.
Yes, yes.
Which is racism, Harry.
Heavily. because that's what Oregon was designed to, you know, that's where a lot of them fled to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And so, really, I struggled to get interested in this. And then, like, there's really some interesting backstories about how this came about. So it's Dwight Jr., who's the father, 73, and his son, Stephen Hammond. They're lifelong ranchers in this area, Harney County, and, like, even going back, their ancestors were ranchers all throughout Oregon. And so they had several issues with this wildlife refuge before. So this isn't their first brush with starting a fire to keep out juniper grass that came in order to
get it brush.
No.
So they end up getting prosecuted, right? They end up setting a fire designed to keep out this grass that they said was going to ruin their winter feed. Mm-hmm. They go to court. The judge says you have to pay $400,000, $200,000 of which they went ahead and paid in court as part of the fine, and then they come up with the rest, you know, as time went on. And the judge says, you know, even though the government prosecuted you under the I want to make sure I get this right. It's the anti-terrorism.
Yeah, Federal Anti-Terrorism Effective Death Penalty Act of 1996.
Right. So a pretty scary name for guys that set some brush fire that creeped onto federal grounds. Yeah. So this goes on. They end up saying, okay, the judge says it'd be cruel and unusual punishment since there's a 5-year minimum prison sentence. They serve roughly 3-4 months in jail. They're released. Well, the Solicitor General decides to appeal the judge's ruling, and they end up having to go back. They have to go back and serve. They get to like enjoy the holidays, but they're going to have to go back and serve out the rest of their term. Right now, where they are is they're not... They originally reached out to Clive and Bundy, who had the successful federal standoff in Nevada with the Rangers.
He took his hand out of his pants and answered the phone.
Yeah.
Peg, get the phone.
But so he, you know, he was seen as a guy that successfully stood up to the Fed after that standoff. And then his son, Amon, I think I'm pronouncing that right.
Which really? What is with the names?
You're a terrorist.
You wouldn't believe this. This is the best part. The names, and this is where I don't know if any of this is true. I mean, I don't know if this is influencing him whatsoever.
So you're Alex Jonesing us?
No. It's the historical, like why he was named what he was named. The Mormonism is pretty interesting because if you look at it, The history of Mormons is being driven out of lands in the United States, right? So they're driven out of New York. They settle in Missouri. There's the Missouri conflict, which is known as the Mormon War, where a Missouri militia, which probably got their authority from the Second Amendment, and none of those guys could have had guns without that authority granted to the militia.
Could you imagine a Mormon war?
That's what it was called.
Well, like, so, it was a Mormon war.
So I'm really sorry about this. You're a very nice person, but I have to do this.
Well, that back in the 1800s, that wasn't the case. They fought back aggressively. And so the Missouri militia killed Mormon settlers in what's known as the Hans Mill Massacre. Later, the governor of Missouri actually issued an extermination order that they could either be killed or flee, Mormons, in the United States.
Wow.
So Ammon Bundy is named after Ammon of the Book of Mormon, an ancient missionary who visited the enemies of his people. He promised to serve their king and ended up cutting off the arms of a bunch of bandits. This is written by BuzzFeed. The most powerful and relevant story is that Captain Moroni, a military leader who Mormons believed lived in the Americas around 100 BC, he was a righteous general with many notable accomplishments, and he became angry with his government over its indifference concerning the freedom of its country. Now,
he's the one that...
he was cited.
No, Moroni is actually the one who talked to about the golden plates.
Yes.
Dum, 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 dum.
Right. And so he's named after somebody, or Ammon is, that's seen as someone, the state no longer cares about your freedom. I'm here to fight back and protect you, protect the citizenry. Why that's relevant is in Harner County, they're not exactly like against them. So their public safety board drafted a letter to them yesterday that said, listen, while we don't agree with the way you're doing it, we do appreciate all you've done to raise awareness. Now, the Pacific Patriot Network, which is another group of militiamen that have joined their cause.
Probably a terrorist group, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right. So this all started when the Hammonds were asked the Bundys to come up there. And so Cliven didn't. Ammon did. Cliven said, listen, and this is what's hurt Ammon. I don't know.
I feel like we're talking about a biblical story. So Hammond asked unto thy Cliven.
Right. And honestly, well, so then this is where it gets biblical. Ammon's been saying that God told him to do this. That's his reasoning. God came to him, spoke to him, and said, I need you to do this. There, I need you to come and stand up for these people. So he goes up there and does this. They go to, two Saturdays ago, they go to a rally. Ryan Bundy, Ammon's brother, and then they end up leaving the rally, go out to this wildlife refuge. They find the keys and let themselves in. Literally find the keys.
Right, because it was presented as they took over a federal building, but it's like a shack, isn't it?
Yeah, they're like having campfires, cabin. And like that was the joke about the snacks. They didn't bring enough snacks while they're having the campfires. Mm-hmm. And now they are heavily armed, but they...
So they didn't have a s'mores plan.
And they had like a press conference. And
he's not like a guy that comes across that bad. Like he's never had as much as a traffic ticket in his life. He's had some struggles financially. He owns a valet company that services like fleets of trucks and that type of thing. But he got... he hasn't really done so well lately, and he's back on property taxes, getting caught up. But he's not a bad guy, and he comes across well, and he really is there because the people in Oregon are on his side. 52% of Oregon is owned by the federal government. And that all goes back to the Northwest Ordinance. The federal government would own all land. That way it could be orderly. Statehood could be orderly. It would be granted out. You could set up educational institutions. There wouldn't just be states. The federal government would have the sovereignty like the Civil War settled, obviously, Brett. They determined who is a state, not a state just joining or leaving. And so that's what this all goes back to. And if you look at it, like east of the Mississippi, only 4% of land is owned by the federal government. The majority is owned by federal government out west, like in Wyoming and Nevada, like we talked about last night. And it's an antiquated law.
Mm-hmm.
That is causing this entire dust up, and conservationists have used this repeatedly, but it was an issue where they ended up being prosecuted because they set fire, a brush fire, to keep out juniper grass from killing the stuff they use to feed their cattle livestock. And
there was some sort of lightning sourced fire.
Right.
They were also helping.
That was the first incident.
Yeah, they were helping put the fire out at some point.
Right.
Yeah.
But so then this goes on. Well, they do that in 2001. Then they go ahead and do another brush fire. It ends up burning some of the acreage, inevitably. They end up telling them in court what ended up happening was Stephen, the son, said, we called them before we said it. the investigators went out, and they had already said it, and it was like 2 hours later before they alerted them. But they still alerted them, and they agreed to pay the damages. But because of this federal terrorism law, they end up having to serve 5 years, which the judge himself says is cruel and unusual punishment.
Which was set up after the Oklahoma City bombings as, you know.
Yeah, right.
Like another tool for
protection, to keep us free.
A right. knee-jerk reaction?
Yeah, exactly.
Based on a current event?
And so then, though, after the appellate court agrees to hear this, after the Solicitor General agrees to appeal it, they find all of a sudden new eyewitness testimony. That eyewitness testimony comes in the form of the nephew of Stephen. Stephen.
Eerily familiar.
What?
I was just giving Harry an eerily familiar look.
Oh, well, it's like Stephen and his nephew and have a very bad relationship. And he actually had abused him domestically, and so he had to do a pretrial diversion, go to anger management classes, and get this settled.
I thought pretrial diversion meant you weren't guilty.
Yeah,
no, it means the charges are dropped, I believe. That's how you spin it anyway.
Right. And so his nephew ends up being the one who said, light the world on, he said he was instructed to light the world on fire.
Okay.
They use this as eyewitness testimony that the intent was not just to do a controlled brush fire, but to actually burn the lands of the federal government. That ends up being the linchpin and the reason this thing goes back to appellate court, and that's the reason these guys are going to have to serve out the mandatory 5 years. Not because even the actual prosecutor said, I do not consider these individuals to be terrorists against the state. But because of the five-year minimum law, they have to go back. The appellate court overruled, and they got to spend Christmas and the New Year, and then they are to, I think they're to report here in a few days.
Isn't there a permit somewhere that they were denied?
They can't get the permit now.
Because of their criminal past.
Yeah, well, so the family now is suffering at the brink. They have the family can't keep this going because now they no longer have ranching permits.
Right.
So they've been around. They've been there since the 1800s, and their family can no longer continue a successful. They actually shuttle cattle during the winter, and then they also have the successful ranching business. And now those are both gone. And their legal defense, though, even though the Hammonds had asked the Bundys to come up there and bring awareness to this, now they're going away because now they're pursuing clemency from President Obama.
Right.
So now Amon Bundy's up there standing alone without support of the very people who invited him up there, and he looks like he's an idiot. However, the thing he's got going for him are that people are on his side in Oregon, and that's why the FBI has stood down. The Rangers have stood down. Yesterday, the sheriff was asked by Harney County at a town hall. They asked him to go out there, and so they had a 10-minute discussion. And he said, I agree to grant you safe passage if, you know, no charges will be filed. I'll get you out of town, and we'll put this to bed. And he goes, listen, the only thing that's going to happen here, I'm not leaving until this land is turned over to the people of Oregon.
Oh, boy.
Which, if you're going to have a cause, that's a good one to me, because then it's turned over to ranchers, it's turned over to people who make their living off this land, and it's not just this conservation is continually encroaching upon the Hammonds' property, and now after the first issue with the fire, they had to grant first right of sale to the federal government. That was part of the conditional lower sentence, and so it's just one thing after another where this federal government being there has created crimes.
Yeah,
just their pure existence has created criminals out of people who are successful ranchers when it's not,
who are law-abiding really citizens.
And these guys are community. That's the other thing. Like the Oregon Live website, or their main paper was talking about. They donate to every charity. They basically are, you know, they're on the town council. These are great people that are committed to everything in Harney County and have, you know, made sure that it's a great civic community to grow up in. And that's why the people are rallying around him, because the government doesn't see him as terrorists. The people see him as heroes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And yet somehow they're going to be in jail prison for 5 years.
It's insane.
For a fire.
Right.
That they agreed to pay the fines and they're going to pay the rest here soon. And it's just the absurdity of it all. And I mean, maybe Amon Bundy shouldn't have got involved, but I don't blame the guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
he's
what?
He wants to help, and he was asked to help.
He was asked to help. They abandoned him, but he's up there, and it could get out of control with this Pacific Patriots Network that's joined their cause, because now they're setting up an armed perimeter to prevent. Then the guy, one of the people broke away and said, the reason we're doing it is to prevent a Waco situation. Talked to a reporter, and I thought, this is not what you want to do, because you're going to change the narrative from occupation, or, you know, from protest to occupation.
Right. Yep.
And the second that happens, you just gave the federal government license to move in and create, you know, a scenario where you get attacked. And they're ready to fight back. They're carrying armed weapons, but they're talking to anyone. Anyone wants to come up, they'll greet them. They're friendly. They're nice. They don't have the through the media as the like Waco or who was that? Jim Jones.
Yeah,
at the Branch Davidian.
That's David.
Koresh.
Yeah.
Where they could have gone. They could have arrested him for what they were going to charge him with at any time on one of his morning runs, but instead waited until he got back to the compound and then held it under siege and attacked the people.
Exactly. Right. You know,
people who were paranoid of the government, and they sent the tank.
Yeah.
Right.
They sent a tank. Even though the sheriff told him not to send the tank. Just go up there in a suit.
Yeah.
And but now they've laid the groundwork for such an issue by that one guy breaking off and other militia groups joining.
Well, we already know, like, it's commonplace that two-thirds of most groups are probably federal agents, just in there either spying or instigating.
Two-thirds seems a little strong, Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go
I mean, that
two-thirds.
Would mean that at least two of us are.
Oh, hell, I'm accused of being a government troll all the time.
Okay. So at least now I know who the other one is besides me.
Only pure people are on that side of the table.
I ain't saying shit.
Uh-huh. But, you know, it's funny because, like, I felt like you guys. Like, this is so ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you think about it. Like, this is a guy who hasn't accomplished a lot in his life, and he's kind of running off the reputation his dad built because his business was kind of successful. What?
Sorry. My brain started to go on this one. Is like, is this just trying to get, like, a database of people who are willing to go and get up guns and go do this, just kind of like they did with Occupy Wall Street? Occupy Wall Street was manufactured by the federal government. They convinced people to go there. They started pulling people in databases this way.
But this is like 20 people. So, like, when I say the Pacific Patriot Network, I mean, like, six guys in Silverados. Like, I don't mean, like, you know, Occupy Wall Street with 100,000 people.
Yeah. Okay, just
one. You know, like, I'd be shocked if they'd commit the resources for what will ultimately result in under 100 people.
So at the end of the day, it's another group of people who are upset about government intervention in the lives of people who are trying to live their lives and be prosperous.
To be taxpayers. Be better taxpayers.
So there is a parallel, then, to the people of Baltimore, in that it's a group of people who are frustrated by government intervention and are lashing out because they don't understand any other way, because they've tried to follow, essentially, for the most part, tried to follow the rules as they're laid out.
And, like, even want to buy the land. Like, the Hammonds ideally would get to buy some of the acreage from the federal government, but the federal government instead says, no, we're only going to grow. Even though we already own half, that is enough. We got to conserve more of Oregon. So all it does is drive out. They've literally ruined the lives of the Hammonds, who no longer can get ranching license in their family. And now they have they've created a scenario where a group of people who really, like, Amon Bundy isn't a terrorist. He's trying to interpret the law from, like, an originalist perspective. And just doing that makes you look like a terrorist with the right media narrative. Just reading the Constitution and interpreting it from that perspective makes you look like a terrorist.
Pat McAfee is the Colts punter. And so he was...
Matt McAfee?
Matt McAfee was on the show this week, and he was talking about their coaching. They were supposed to fire their coach Pagano. And they ended up giving an extension to both Pagano and the general manager, Ryan Grigson. And the media was walking around trying to get information on everything. And there's one particular guy in the locker room that hates the media and never wants to talk to them. And so one of the press people said, well, then just say no comment. You got to talk to him or else you'll get fined. And you don't have to say
Marshawn Lynch it.
Right. Yeah. So just say no comment. And so that's what this guy did. And he said, Do you like Chuck Pagano? Do you like this decision? No comment. Do you dislike Chuck Pagano? No comment. Do you like Ryan Grigson? No comment. Do you like on and on and on, asking multiple of you know what this guy's opinion of the coaching staff. The media member went out and tweeted, "Man, they really got to look at this guy because he hates his coaches because he had nothing to say to defend Chuck Pagano and he's not even happy that they're back and blah, blah, blah." So the absence of saying something now in the age of Twitter and our media environment is that no comment now equals I hate the guy because I've got nothing to say in support.
You're either with us or against us.
Right.
Right.
Which is insane. So
hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what he should have said. Either that or start like quoting like Harry Potter
reading,
spells out.
Yeah. Just start Harry reading recipes from his
filibuster
grandma's.
Filibuster the media.
Yeah. That would be an interesting tactic.
Oh, that would be one of the greatest things I'd ever seen. Actually, Pat McAfee would be the one that would do it.
Yeah.
He would actually filibuster the media by just going into his stand-up routine.
But they would love him for it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unlike everybody else where they're going to go after him.
So we got to start wrapping this up. So finish up on this particular thing here.
No, I mean, ultimately, I think this is now with the... with them allowing other militia networks to join, it's still early enough. This can end well, where the people of Harney County give them safe passage out. No, other than the Hammonds having to serve the full prison sentence, which I doubt they will. I'm sure I would really think the president, as a act of like I'm not a crazy person, grants them clemency or influences some sort of parole board to shorten the term. I just can't see this going, them serving 5 years after they've already agreed to pay all fines and take care of damages. But if this thing keeps getting traction where patriot groups keep showing up, you're looking at they're instigating and daring the federal government to come in with National Guard.
And that always ends well.
Oh.
Always.
Worked for Kent State.
Wow. Okay.
Too soon?
But yeah, I'd resist people to be, to make fun of Amon Bundy as much as it's so easy.
It is.
I mean, it is so easy, but he was asked to be up there. He's doing his best to represent what the will of the people already is. He's not the eloquent spokesperson that you'd probably wish, but he's also not a bad guy and a wacko.
You don't get to pick when you become the spokesperson oftentimes, and there aren't people who've gone through extensive media training, and so they're going to come across as somebody who doesn't really get it and doesn't understand how to talk about the issue. And unfortunately, that's most of America, but we are fed the media narrative that this guy is incompetent or a buffoon because he doesn't fit the narrative that they're telling, and he doesn't have the ability to talk about the issue in a way that shows him as being an intelligent, rational thinker.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you all. We got to start wrapping up here. There has been so much to talk about this week. Now that it seems like everybody kind of woke up after the holidays, and now we're all paying attention. And
waited for Paul Ryan's awful budget bill to be passed.
Right. It's the year of ideas, because the Republicans are admitting they've never had any ideas before.
And Democrats are almost admitting that they've only had bad ideas before. Yeah. So Lewis Black is pretty right.
Yeah, he really is.
All right, kids, time to wrap up. Open stage, whatever you'd like to say, self-promote, do your thing. Harry, let's start with you.
Oh, goody. let's see. With I don't really have that much to wrap up with, mm-hmm. Other than the simple fact that be very careful if you watch someone who talks about at the president's town hall meeting, the little in between things that he would say offhandedly and move aside, especially talk about how could I confiscate guns? There's so many of them and they're spread so wide. Be careful, like when it's talking about, because the only way you could confiscate it is the same way they first tried to put people in internment camps. First thing you got to do, you've got to make
children,
a database.
So
you've
got
to make a database, and they've already got a database of everything that you do from your metadata. They know where you move. They know who you talk to. They know who your friends are. They already have that information. They've got even more information on you, and they're just they're piling more and more information about you. It's not the fact that that information out there is who controls it. That's what worries me about most of it. And the other thing is watching when people talk about these statistics, question the studies. Find out their sample size. Find out how they got their statistics. Find out if it has it been proven. How many people, have looked at this study, and if they... And if they use a study hidden behind a paywall, don't trust that study.
Yeah.
I've seen so many people, it happens on the left, it happens on the right. People will put up a college study that's behind a $500 paywall so you can't read it. And they claim this is what happened. Or they'll do something statistics like, well, 1 in 100,000 people, see, this is what our gun does. And so it looks like Chicago is safer than Vermont somehow. Because that's how they got the statistic to skew. But that's
all right, Brett.
Well, the first thing I want to do is, if you haven't yet, it's been an obsession of mine for about 2 weeks. watch Netflix's documentary series, Making a Murderer. Even if you have no interest in spending 10 hours of your life finding out about a Wisconsin family and their struggles with the criminal justice system, when I first started watching it, it was just kind of eh, and I was sucked in, and I can't stop reading, sharing information, talking about it. I can't wait for Greg to finish it so that we can talk.
I
want
to do an
it.
Episode. I'd like to do an episode.
Let's do it. I can't wait.
I'm on episode 4, so I've got a lot to watch tomorrow.
Okay. Well, I'll share with you guys the top links that I've collected in the probably 50 to 75 articles and opinions and op-eds and stuff about the story. I'll share that with you guys for show prep. For me personally, find me on social media. I'm always talking about something. I'm at Brett Bittner, BRETTBITTNER on Twitter. I'm also on Facebook at facebook.com/BittnerForLiberty. If you'd like to see me speak in person, as we mentioned towards the beginning of the podcast, I will be at Liberty Forum in Manchester, New Hampshire on February the 19th. I believe that's the Friday that I'm speaking. I know I have a 9 a.m. speaking spot. I will also be in Colorado in March. And as soon as I have more details and the speakers list has officially been announced, I'll make sure to share that. And I look forward to seeing conversations about what we've talked about today. That's usually something I've kind of shied away from or not seen, so I can't wait to engage if you guys are interested with anything that I said or anything that I thought or talked about. Or and you can also follow me on Instagram at Brett Bittner.
Very good.
Greg?
Yep, mine is a recent email discovery. I know everyone's tired of Hillary Clinton and all this stuff about, you know, whether or not she committed a crime. And I don't care about her serving jail time. I don't care about yada, yada, yada. We all know she's awful. But I do care about the ability for investigators to actually investigate things. And so it turns out an email chain was discovered where there is an email that shows she committed a federal crime. On June 7, 2011, an email chain with senior State Department advisor Jake Sullivan, Clinton asked Sullivan to change the marking on classified information so that it is no longer flagged as classified. Clinton, using her private email server, asked for the TPs, apparently a reference to talking points being prepared for her. Sullivan, who is using his official State Department email, responds, "They say they've had issues sending secure facts. They're working on it." Clinton responds, "If they can't, turn it into non-paper with no identifying heading and send non-secure." That is a blatant violation of federal law, and she won't go to jail, but she should. She's a criminal.
Yeah.
Her own state that she purports to love, she violated its laws, and if she really loved it and loved the law, she should go to jail for the crime she committed.
I'm already falling asleep.
I get it, but like, I'm just glad they were able to find the information, because investigations shouldn't be prohibited like they are being right now. Mm-hmm.
All right. Mine is Watch the Wire. So I'm going to give you a...
Ooh, that's a pretty big assignment.
Oh, but it's 5 seasons of epicness. Okay, if you're into politics, it's not even a chore. It's the best TV show of all time. It is literally...
The West Wing?
No, not West Wing's not even in my top 5
hours that you're telling people to maybe spend of their lives watching.
Well, now that they've watched The House I Live In, the documentary that will change your
life. I did watch because of your recommendation when I was riding a bus from Houston to Dallas, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it's great. And so now that they've watched that, they're prepared to watch The Wire, which is basically a documentary. It was written by a cop from Baltimore. And now I had his name, and now you ruined it for me. David, he did The Homicide: Life on the Street, and he was a newspaper reporter for the Baltimore Sun, went on to do Tremé on HBO, which is an excellent show as well. So it is The Wire, though, is... it's better than
David Simon.
Yeah, sorry. Better than The Sopranos, better than Mad Men, better than Breaking Bad, especially, mostly if you're a political person. I mean, it details in great drama, Shakespearean drama, what is wrong with our inner cities, how the cops, the newspapers, the schools, the politicians all fail your average citizen, and how it fails the people who work for the bureaucracies as well. It's just an amazing show. I rewatched it again. I saw it first 5 years ago and thought it was amazing. and it holds up. I mean, even except for it's kind of funny because they do the wiretaps of the cell phones, and they start with the beepers, and then they get onto the flip phones, and then the burners,
and then the camera phones.
Right?
Oh yeah, it's awesome. So, and for the ladies, Idris Elba is a big part.
He's very foxy
for two or three seasons.
He's a very handsome man. So,
dirty red coat. He's British. I don't trust him.
No, he's not. He's from Sierra Leone.
It's British territory.
Same thing. All right.
Well, is he American? No, that's all I got to say. Is he American? Like, he's not. He's like Ted Cruz. He's not from America.
He's more Canadian than British.
That's worse. I was trying to be nice.
All right, kids. Thanks for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. As always, we promise
to do better next time.